Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 101. And this is the first one I've done for a while. I know that I did promise at the end of Tom Harris USA, episode number 100, that there would indeed be more of these podcasts, as opposed to the live show, which I do on Saturdays on United Kingdom Radio. And so here one is. I know I promised it last week, but I did kind of get a little bit bogged down with other stuff that was going on. And I'm not going to make too many excuses, other than to say that one of the main reasons why I did get bogged down was because of jury duty. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, I do have to first off apologize a little bit because I am very sinusy today, so my voice is going to be a little bit nasally. I hope that won't detract too much from the program. But I do want to say that, you know, for those of you who have been my loyal listeners, I do apologize for going this long without doing another show, because originally my intention was to do, you know, maybe one podcast a month and try to, you know, to keep the podcast coming periodically. And I guess there's really no excuse for that. Now, one of the things that I talked about in that last episode that I did was about the upcoming projects and things that they have in the works. And I do want to, you know, to kind of reassure everybody that there are other projects in the works. Most notably a comics related podcast that I will be doing with my co-host, who is my best friend Paul, who lives in Kotka, Finland. Now, one of the problems that we've had has been, you know, during the summer, he's not always very readily available on weekends, which would be the time when we'd be doing most of our recording. So that's been kind of a problem, not really Paul's fault, but because we have an 8-hour time difference between us, but also because during the summer, he's very busy. And that's not really any excuse. However, Paul and his wife will be coming to Chicago for Thanksgiving this year. They'll be spending the Thanksgiving weekend, or spending Thanksgiving Day up in Rockford with Paul's sister. And then the day after Thanksgiving, the Black Friday. Paul and his wife, Mari, will be here in Chicago on Black Friday, and Pete and I are supposed to go and have a meal with them that evening and meet up with them. It's always a lot of fun to hang out with those guys. And I don't see them often enough. I'd be quite honest, it's really my turn to go pay them a visit over in Finland, because they've been coming to the States now every year for the last few years. But they're actually going to be here for his 50th birthday, which will be the same week of Thanksgiving. And they're making a special trip to Hawaii for his 50th. So that'll be all very exciting. And we're going to sit down that evening and we're going to discuss the particulars of this new show, which is something that I have actually been working on kind of quietly behind the scenes. Anyway, I just wanted to reassure you that it is coming, even though it may be a while before we actually record any programs. And I'm hoping that I'll be well prepared by the time we're getting ready to record, that will all go very, very smoothly. Anyway, for those of you who might miss the podcast and so forth, I do encourage you to tune into the live show. Now, I know I've talked about this in the past, because the live show has tended to be kind of a lighter experience. It's been more lighthearted topics, more superficial perhaps, and not a lot of deep thought. However, if you have been avoiding the live show because of that, I would encourage you kind of to tune in now, because what has happened over the last several weeks is that I've made some changes in the show. A little bit of format change, there's some features that are gone, and you know, maybe some new ones that are coming in. And some of the features that I was doing on this show, such as Tom's Travels, are actually moving over to the live show on Saturday. Now, the live show, of course, is on United Kingdom Radio, and that is Saturday 4 p.m. UK time, which is 10 a.m. here in the Midwest of the U.S., Central Standard Time Zone, as it were. But I have been broaching some more serious topics lately, so if that's what you're looking for, and you've been kind of avoiding the live show because it's more of a lighthearted show, then, you know, please don't. I mean, please feel free to tune in. I kind of hope that the people will tune in and even participate. Because one sure way to get me to talk about a more serious topic is to actually bring it up. And that would certainly be very useful for that purpose. Certainly you can Skype in and so forth. So I do encourage people to tune in, especially if you've kind of missed these pre-recorded chats that I've been doing for the last couple of years. But I do want to keep them going, as I said. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about jury duty because I never really got around to talking about this on the live show. And I thought that it might be interesting and particular to people who are living not in the U.S. And I know that there's a lot of you out there who are international listeners who don't live in the United States. Now, I'm sure that they have this in other countries, and I think most notably in the U.K., from where we derive a lot of our legal tradition in the United States. But we have this feature of our constitutional democracy here in the States of the idea of trial by jury. And we have certainly, you know, some other legal traditions such as presumption of innocence, which I don't believe that a lot of other countries have. And one of the features, of course, of this trial by jury thing is that it be a jury of your peers. In other words, that, you know, the court will actually select a jury at the advice of the counsel, of the lawyers, of the person who is being tried, and in agreement with the counsel for the state. And of course, by allowing both the defense and the prosecution to agree on a set of jurors makes the system fairer. Obviously, if you are in a very inequitable society, and I could point to, you know, back in the 1960s, you know, say in the Deep South, where you would have a black defendant and an all-white jury, you know, that's not exactly a jury of your peers. You would want to have a mixture of people who would not be biased against the defendant, because after all, in our system, you know, a defendant is presumed innocent of any charges unless the state can actually prove by preponderance of evidence that they're guilty. That's the way our system works. It works that way to preserve the freedoms that we are guaranteed under the Constitution. And the idea is that, you know, every so often they will call in citizens. Usually they get the information from the Driver's License Bureau or from the voting rolls or anything like that. And you will be called in to serve as a juror. And I think the process is pretty similar throughout the U.S. I know I've been called for jury duty in three states, Florida, Ohio, and now in Illinois a couple of times. And normally the way that this works is you'll get some sort of a notification in the mail. And they'll say, well, you need to report to such and such a place. In this case, it was the Cook County Criminal Courts. I do like the alliteration there. CCCC. Which incidentally is this absolutely gorgeous Art Deco building. Very Gotham City Art Deco looking building from 1927. Absolutely beautiful piece of architecture. Unfortunately, on inside, it's just, you know, they gutted it like back in the 50s or something, and it's really ugly on the inside. But the outside of it's absolutely gorgeous, and I love that building. But the disadvantage, of course, is that the criminal courts is a long way away from where I am. Now, I live way in the north side of Chicago, which is to say the far north. I'm as far north as you can go pretty much and still be in Chicago. If you go any further north, you're in Evanston, and that's indeed, I work in Evanston and frequently walk home from work. So that tells you about, you know, how far from Evanston I am. But the criminal court, by contrast, is way down on the south side, and it's not on the far south side. It's actually about 25 blocks south of downtown, which is still a good clip, and it takes about an hour to get there by train, maybe even a little bit more than that. And so I would have to get on the train here, take the red line all the way downtown, switch to the pink line at Jackson, and then take that for 15 minutes to the California stop, and then walk about a mile from the L station to the courthouse itself. And so it's a good clip, and I know that a lot of people who live on the north side of Cook County, and this would be people who live not only on the north side of Chicago, but people who live in the suburbs, like Skokie and Wilmette and some of those areas on the north side, people who live much further from town than I do, they have to go all the way down to the south side in order to sit on a jury. So a lot of people really, really dislike going down to the criminal courts. There are other courthouses that you can be called to for jury duty, but so far the three times that I've been called for jury duty while I've been living here, over the last 10 years, has always been at the criminal courts. I've never been able to go like to the Skokie courthouse or to down to the federal court downtown. So it is kind of a pain for a lot of people to get down there. But really, I mean, for me, I don't really find it all that bad. For one thing, I can always amuse myself on the train. Now, the way it normally works is you get called down as a potential juror. Nobody is called down, specifically to be, they don't tell you, you're gonna sit on a jury, because most of the time what happens is similar to what happened to me this time. Now, I've been called for jury duty three times, like I said, here in Chicago, but I've never had to actually be on a jury for a trial. And of course, I have no idea why the reason for that might be. But the way it works in at least in Cook County is that they have a system of a one day call or a one trial call. So if you are chosen for a jury, you have to actually serve until the end of that trial. But if you don't get called for a jury, then you only have to come down for one day down to the courthouse and sit there all day. Because really when you get called down there, there's absolutely nothing you can do. You go down there, you go through security, you go into the courthouse. And they tell you the directions to get up to the jury room. Now, the jury room is this great big room. It seats several hundred people. And there are usually, maybe 100 people up there on any given day. And there's these rows of chairs. They're not the worst chairs, but they're not the best chairs either. And basically, you sit there all day and you wait to see if your group is called. What they do is they give you a slip of paper and it'll say on there what your group number is. And now my group number in this particular case was group number 27. And there are about 20 people in each group. And what they do is they hand out these slips of paper sort of at random as you come in. And what they do is they mail you a form in the mail. You have to fill that out before you show up. And then when you get there, you hand that to the lady and she hands you a slip of paper. In my case, it said group 27 on it. And you go and you sit down and you wait. and you wait. Now, there's really nothing to do in the jury room. But they have some TVs set up. And you can watch, trashy daytime TV like Oprah or whatever while you're waiting. And there are some vending machines if you want a Coke or some, their candy machines or cookies or whatever. Now, eventually what will happen is one of two things. Either they will call you out to go to a courtroom or they won't. Now, in my case, I did actually get called to a courtroom about noon. So you have to be there at 9:30 in the morning. And I waited till about noon, and then they called group 27 in to one of the courtrooms. And we kind of get filed down there, and you sit in the gallery of the courtroom while the judge kind of welcomes you to the courtroom and, gives you sort of a lowdown on what's going on, what they're choosing a jury for. And you have to keep in mind that they're going to choose 12 people for this jury. And what they do is they call down two groups at once. And the groups have about 20 people per group. So you have, in this case, group 27 and group 41 were the two groups that they called. And so there were about 40 of us down in the courtroom. And they choose the jury out of, 12 people out of those 40 people. And so basically what you do is you go down there. Now, in this case, what happened was we went down there. They were running late in the jury selection. They were taking, I guess more time than they thought. And so what they did immediately after, kind of checking us in and making sure we were all there, they immediately said, okay, well, all of you go to lunch and come back in an hour. So we did that. Now, you don't have to stay in the courthouse at jury time, but I like to get out. I don't like sitting in that courthouse. So, you know, of course, that means you have to go through security again and all that stuff. But I didn't think that was so bad. But you go looking for food, and they have a couple of options in the courthouse for food. There's a little snack bar, which is pretty nasty. And then there's like a little cafeteria, which is just kind of expensive and mediocre. And, or you can leave the courthouse and go out into the surrounding neighborhood. A lot of people are kind of intimidated by that neighborhood. And the reason why is it's not an affluent neighborhood. It's not a slum by any stretch of the imagination. But for these people who are coming from Wilmette, where there's a lot of big houses and big lawns and everybody's rich and all this stuff, and they go down to this little neighborhood, and actually it's called Little Village, is the neighborhood that's sort of right in the area of the courthouse. This is a blue-collar, lower-class, Hispanic neighborhood. And I think a lot of the wealthier jurors get really intimidated by wandering out of the courthouse and wandering around in the street. Heaven forbid they should encounter people with dark skin. But I don't have any kind of fear of that. And I went out and I wandered around. I went hunting a geocache. Because I took my little finder with me out. I've been doing a lot of that lately. So I kind of wandered around for the hour. I really wasn't very hungry. Got myself a little sandwich at one of the little, bodega type, sandwich places down there. And then wandered back to the courthouse and went back in and, got there in plenty of time. And then after lunch, they actually started interviewing people for the jury. Now, this is the least interesting part of jury duty because they're basically interviewing people one-on-one. They call, like 12 people in at a time into the courtroom, and you have to stay there. You can't leave. If you're not one of the 12 they call into the courtroom, then you just kind of have to sit there and grin and bear it, and you can't play video games or anything. You just kind of have to sit there and pay attention to what the judge is saying. And they ask each juror the exact same questions, and you have to listen to everybody's answers. And then what will happen is they'll go through a couple of rounds of that. And then they will excuse, some of those people, from that group. And they will say, okay, these four people or whatever are on the jury. In this case, they chose 8 out of the first 24 people to be on the jury. Now, I was in the last group of 12 that they called in. They were choosing, 4 jurors from among the last group of 12, and there were, I think, 12 people that weren't called, or something like that. I could be off on the numbers because, honestly, I'm not sure how many people were in group 41. I think our group had about 20. But basically, they interview everybody, including me, and then they make their selections. And now, at the point that we were in there, keep in mind, we got into the courtroom back from lunch at about 1 in the afternoon. We were there till 6 at night. They can keep you legally till 6 o'clock. And so they really kept us till the very, very last second of that experience. Anyway, at that point, it's kind of like, okay, well, we've chosen our jury plus 2 alternates in case, somebody on the jury gets sick, and then everybody else gets let go. Now, for this all day trip where you can basically can't do much, you kind of sit there and listen. Up in the jury room, you can play video games or whatever, but down in the courtroom, you can't. They pay you $17.20. What a joke. And then you that's a big deal. But they do pay you. And then after that, you're excused from jury duty for about a year. And if they call you in within the year of that call, then you can actually refuse to go in because you can just, say, well, I got called in less than a year ago. And do that. So anyway, that was the jury duty experience. And one of these days I'll actually get probably a chance to sit on a jury. I really kind of hope so because it is sort of one of the fundamental aspects of our judicial system that I have yet to experience. Certainly hope not to be on the other side of the board, the person being charged. So anyway, that kind of just kind of sums up my jury duty experience. Now, one of the interesting things that I did after jury duty was I actually placed my very first geocache. As I've been talking about on other shows, I've started doing this thing called geocaching, which is kind of a treasure hunting kind of game. And I've really been enjoying that. It's something that is getting me outside and moving around, and I think that's really, really important. Trying to lose weight and also to just get out in the air and get away from the computer for a while. And while I was down there near the courthouse, I hid my first treasure for other people to find. And so I guess officially I'm no longer a geocaching noob. Now I'm just sort of an ordinary type of noob. Okay, so it looks like I have about 10 minutes left to the show. So I was just going to talk a little bit about a comic book related movie. As you know, I've been kind of reviewing them as I watch them. And I did watch another one this past week, in fact. And this is indeed one of the predecessors to the upcoming Avengers movie. They have a Captain America movie and a Thor movie in the works that should be out in the next year. And they've already had two Iron Man movies, and this movie, which was The Incredible Hulk. Now, I thought, going into this, that this Hulk movie was kind of a reboot, because they'd done one back, and I think it was 2004 or 2005, starring Eric Bana. And it turns out that they actually kind of summarized that Eric Bana movie in the first 15 minutes of The Incredible Hulk. Now, this starring Edward Norton as Bruce Banner, and I thought that, yeah, it was a reboot, but it turned out not to be. It was almost sort of a direct sequel. They made a few little changes, nothing too crazy, and tried to bring it in line with its predecessor. The first Hulk movie wasn't very good, and that was one of the concerns, of course, that I had going into this one, because obviously if you take a lousy movie and make a sequel of it, usually a sequel is not as good as the first film. And I have to say it, and I hate to say it because I am a comics fan, but the Hulk is not one of my favorite characters. It is a character that is kind of almost a one-note character, and various writers and artists have tried over the years to make it a very interesting concept, but basically you're dealing with the Frankenstein monster. Or something, something similar to that. Obviously the Hulk is kind of his own thing now. I think he's been around long enough, for over 40 years, that he really kind of has carved out his own niche. But there's only so much that you can actually do with the character, at least as far as I'm concerned. And unfortunately for us people who are fans of the media or fans of the comics, a lot of it tends to be just sort of, going Hulk smash and smashing things up, the army chasing him, and in sort of these interims, you have Bruce Banner wondering how, trying to cure himself or not. And, sometimes the Hulk is dumb, sometimes the Hulk is smart, sometimes he's green, sometimes he's gray, sometimes he's red, and it really just sort of depends on what writer is handling the book at any given time. Now, I have to admit right up front here that I haven't read a Hulk comic book in years. but I, give the movie its own thing. As far as I'm concerned, these comic book movies really have very little to do with the actual comic books. The movie universe is kind of its own thing. So each film I try to approach kind of on its own level and judge it internally for what it is. Now, given that criteria, The Incredible Hulk was not all that bad. Edward Norton as Bruce Banner, I could buy him. Yeah, I mean, he was geeky enough that you could believe him as a scientist. And also, he's a good enough actor that he can pull off the sort of split personality type thing. However, I think that in a lot of ways, the Hulk character, who is mostly computer animated in this, as he was in the first one with Eric Bana, wasn't very convincing. And I would say it was probably even less convincing than some of the effects in Beowulf, which I talked about on one of the live shows recently. Script-wise, the story wasn't anything special. It was sort of your standard Hulk plot. Hulk running away from the army, trying not to change into the Hulk. And they had some cute cameos, I have to say. They had cameos from Lou Ferrigno, who used to play the Hulk on television. And of course from Hulk creator Stan Lee, who makes an appearance in all of these Marvel comics related movies, usually a very quick cameo. And of course they had to do a posthumous cameo from Bill Bixby, who played Bruce Banner in the original TV series from the 70s, via a clip from The Courtship of Eddie's Father, which I think is the series that he's probably best remembered for outside of the U.S. But I don't know. I don't know if they played the Incredible Hulk TV show outside of the U.S. or not. I think it only lasted for a couple of years here in the States, and I was not a big fan of the Incredible Hulk TV show. But that's because it was very different from the comics, and I was a lot more interested in the character as far as it went through the comics in those days. So anyway, so that's kind of what I thought about the Hulk movie. I thought that Edward Norton did a pretty good job. There's only so much you can do with that character, though, and I'm kind of interested to see, because they have Robert Downey Jr. come in at the very, very end of the movie, and it's kind of that link with the Iron Man movie, and talk about they're putting together a team. Now, we know that that's going to be the Avengers. And they've announced recently that Joss Whedon, of all people, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel and some of the other stuff that he's done, like Firefly, which is a series that I really think didn't get the chance it really deserved. But anyway, Joss Whedon will be directing the Avengers movie. So that ought to be interesting. And I am, of course, looking forward to the Thor movie as well. Because I think that I've seen some of the pre-production stills of that. And it looks like it could be, it's either going to be really good or really, really awful. And that is sort of the way comic book movies run. So, unfortunately, that is kind of what I have to look forward to from that. Anyhow, as far as The Incredible Hulk goes, I'm kind of glad I didn't waste the money to go see it in the theater. It's worth a rental from Netflix if you're into that sort of thing. There's lots of explosions. There's some big monsters fighting. It's just sort of one of those action-packed, low-in-plot sort of films. Some good acting, but overall, just I would give it a solid C- overall as far as movies go. Now, speaking of movies, Pete and I went to go see the Resident Evil movie last night. I know this is, I think, the third Resident Evil movie. This one being done in 3D, and I'm not going to really dwell on this because, honestly, I don't have much to say about it. It is 2 hours of special effects porn. And I don't mean that it's pornographic in content. There is absolutely no plot. There is absolutely no character. It is all about, look at this 3D. It is fantastic 3D. It's a beautiful movie to look at. Lots of action. In fact, the whole movie pretty much is action. And really kind of, if you're a big fan of the video games, you'll probably enjoy it. I was kind of hot and cold on it just because it's a beautiful movie to look at, but it has like zero plot at all. So, well worth seeing in the theater just for the 3D effects alone. If you like zombie movies and lots of people shooting things, then that's the sort of thing that that you might want to go see. All right, anyway, it's coming to the end of the program now. If anybody would like to contact the program, of course, they are welcome to do so. The email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com, and I do really like hearing from people if you have anything to say. And, of course, don't forget the live show, which is on every Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. UK time, which is 10 a.m. Chicago time, on unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And you can call and chat about the various topics that I have up for grabs. And I will try to have another one of these podcasts out sometime in the not-too-distant future. I wanted to do some thoughts on Tom Harris USA Episode 8 in retrospect, being one of the lost episodes that I recently reposted here online. And there will also be Tom Harris USA Episodes 9 and 10. I am going to try to get those done at some point because I know I've been really procrastinating in going in. I have to go back and I have to listen to these old shows because I have to take out the old email addresses and all that sort of thing. So it is kind of one of those things that I keep putting off, and I don't really mean to, folks. I promise I'll get 9 and 10 at least posted before the end of the year. And, of course, I will at the end of the year have a big end of the year extravaganza. Anyway, this is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. If I don't see you in the live show, I'll see you next time.